Are you glad to know you're a child of the King? To as many as received Him gave He power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 24. I felt like I might ought to have to explain that comment on the high heels with it being Mardi Gras, but I didn't mean nothing of that. I get a chance, I put my foot in it. I've got a habit of waving at my baby and talking to her a little bit from the platform. And I was in a smaller church, and my wife had went around to the back. And I'm sitting there, I'm not even thinking, man. I'm just looking back there, and Caitlin sees me. She's smiling, I'm waving. And I leaned up just to start to say, I love you. And I noticed I was looking right over a man's shoulder on the second row. Said, I better not go that far. There'd be a lot of explaining on that one. Oh, I had to explain anyway after two or three winks. So, but he didn't wink back, so I was happy about that. Oh, I feel good tonight. I really do. And I feel an awesome presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. Acts chapter 24 and starting at verse 24 says, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I will call for thee, he said. A convenient time. He hoped also that money should have been given of him, of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. You may be seated. Sermon to a man on how to act and how to live. And the consequences for his actions. But yet somewhere this man said later. A wise man once said that if you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll die once. The Bible clearly declares that man is appointed once to die. Then comes the judgment. In other words, that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. In other words, the Bible says that when the judgment is made and the books are open and the final judgment is made and the sinners and the workers of iniquity and the devil and all of his angels are led toward the fiery pit, the lake of fire. He said that is the second death. But God said, I'm going to do everything I can to keep you from dying twice. I'm going to do everything I can to get you in the rapture and away from the judgment. Right. And I want to preach to you tonight the dangers of a convenient mind. The dangers of a convenient mind. Felix, what is it about you? What is it that has caused you to say tomorrow? What is it that's caused you to say, I'm not ready yet? What was it that shook you up, Felix? You see, something shook him. He said he trembled. In other words, something got a hold of his heart and fear set in. So he began to reason with himself. He began to think that money was going to come on the scene. And And notice it says, and this really kind of shocked me a little bit, it says he sent for him the oftener. Which in translation means he sent for him over and over and over. In other words, he wanted to hear from old Paul more than once. In other words, he wanted to hear that message one more time. And then somewhere, Felix, because he kept saying, tomorrow, tomorrow, maybe later, somewhere in his mindset, the spirit of convenience got mixed into his conscience. Oh, but preacher, people's been talking about the judgment stuff for 2,000 years. I understand that, sir and ma'am, but if he decides to hold back 2,000 more, it does not weaken or lessen this message any. It's still going to be a judgment. There's still going to be a rapture. And there's still going to be a church.
Amen.
And if he holds back 2,000 years, there's still going to be a chance to pray through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's still going to be a chance to get your sins forgiven. There's still going to be a chance to get bathed in the blood. There's still going to be a chance to be baptized in Jesus' name. Check out the signs. The Bible says that Jesus said you can tell when the seasons are going to come. Can you not tell the signs of the times? Check out the prophecies. Check them all out, friend. We're on borrowed time. The Lord could come in any day. I'm telling you, before I get through with this message by the Bible, the Lord could come. And I want to know, if He did come, how many people will be taken and how many would be left? How many would be guilty of saying tomorrow? How many of you will be guilty of a convenient mind? When it's good for me, I'll come. Friend, it's good for you any day. The Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good. No man knows the day nor the hour, but we do can tell by the prophecies. We can discern the signs of the times. Felix was an example of a mindset of the sinners today. He was an example of the mindset of people that just don't want to deal with their guilt. In our language, we would have said later, man, or some other day maybe, or when I get ready, I'm going to come. Friend, you don't tell the Creator when you're going to come. The creature never dictates to the Creator what it's going to do and how it's going to operate. But the Bible says, no man comes unto me except my spirit draws him. And there's a spirit drawing every one of us tonight. There's a spirit trying to draw you into a settledness of your mind. There's a spirit trying to draw you into salvation. There's a spirit trying to draw you into the realm of victory and the realm of blood. But you've got to lay your sacrifice down. Felix heard a powerful message called the gospel. Conviction that came upon him, and the Spirit began to pull and draw at the strings of his heart. But just like today, someone is going to feel the pressure of status. Someone's going to feel the pressures of traditions. Someone's going to feel the pressures of what other people might say. And it's going to dominate the ability to make a right choice. Whoever it is, I want you to know something. It does not matter what other people say. It does not matter what tradition says. It does not matter what pressure says. It's what thus saith the Word of God. Felix took the preacher, Paul, and bound him and tried to bring some shame on him so that he could be accepted by a majority. It does not matter. How many of you used to gamble? Oh, come on. Every day. Boy, you just get a rush playing on the odds. I'm seeing some smiles out there, so I know I'm okay. You get a rush on playing with the odds. And the odds say, the older you get, the less likely you're going to be saved. Because you're set in your ways. You're set in traditions. We get set in ruts and routines. A man once said, I love a feather bed. Because you can roll in that thing, man. And I remember my grandma used to have a big feather bed. And I'd get in that thing and just roll and just sink into a rut. A rut of comfort. A rut that I just didn't want to get out of. Because it felt too good. Friend, you don't know what good is until you feel the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You don't know what it means to dance in goodness and liberty until you can dance in the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't know the sweetness of a name until you take on the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, it may not be convenient for you tonight, sir. It may not be convenient for you tonight, ma'am. But when judgment falls, it won't matter what's convenient.
All right.
Conviction and condemnation lies within the heart of our conscience. Our conscience becomes affected. And then we can't figure out, is this God talking to me? Or is this just... In other words, I really can't tell if this is real. Because we say, tomorrow. Oh, I remember a song sung said, tomorrow. I'll give my life tomorrow. But friend, I want to know if I had to preach a sermon for a funeral tomorrow, and it be one of ours, would the title that would best fit the situation, a tragedy of tomorrow? I've come with a straight shot, as straight as I can shoot it tonight. We have put Jesus off. Somebody has in this building. You have put Him off, and you have put Him off, and you have put Him off. And I want you to realize that soon in the future, there's going to be a line drawn in the sand of your life. Friend, tonight I feel that no one here has an untouchable conscience. I don't believe anybody here has the guilt of an unforgivable sin. But like the time is to the mountains, and time is to the great wonders of the world by erosion, so does the spirit of convenience to the conscience of our heart. Felix, stop what you're doing and think about what you're saying. In our hearts tonight, what is the condition of our conscience? The Bible speaks of five consciences. Five states. It speaks of a good one, a clean one, a pure one, an evil one, and a seared one. I wonder if we was examined tonight. Sir, ma'am, what would be the state of your conscience? What would be the reflection of what lies within your heart? A good measuring stick of our conscience is how do we feel when we come to church? Can we really worship the way we want to? Or is something holding us back? When you enter into the presence of God, can you really pour out your heart like you want to? Or is there something keeping you away from the altar? Friend, the only thing that wants to keep you away from the altar is sin and an evil conscience. And somewhere, when our conscience goes to being affected, friend, there's a memory getting developed. There's a memory coming to our mind. There's a memory coming to our heart. And it wants to know, don't you remember? Don't you remember what's going on? The man, the rich man that went to hell, said, God, if you would send somebody to my family. And the first words he said to him, do you remember? We're creating memories tonight in our hearts and in our minds. We're creating something that's going to be stored, that we're going to walk away from this place saying, oh God, do you remember what we felt in the altar?
And then there's going to be a memory created in our heart and in our mind if we don't go to the altar. It's going to say, oh, I remember. I remember. I remember. I remember. And the thief on the cross said, Christ, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus said, thou shalt this day be with me in paradise. If the Lord was to give an account for us tonight through the memory of what He sees and what He's experienced, I wonder, would He say, you will be with me in paradise? The memory of our mind and of our heart, oh God. Tonight I say we need to create good memories and new memories. We need to create right memories and memories of victory. Memories of dumping sin away. Memories of feeling the righteousness and love of God. And the only way we're going to be able to make them memories and hold of them memories is we got to clear our conscience. We got to clear our soul. We got to clear our mind. We got to clear ourselves. For now do we know by baptism, are we also saved? Not giving, washing away the filthiness of the flesh, but giving us a good conscience toward God.
You want to know why? Some of us are still fighting the same things and we can't forget about the things we've done and it's keeping us from the altar. It's because we won't get in the water. Oh, think about it. Think about it. Do you remember when you got in the water? Do you remember when you went down in the water? When you said, it's time and I'm through and I've got to get rid of some things. I need some prayer. I need some victory. And then all of a sudden a preacher takes you down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ and brings you up and your hands so much easier can go up because something's been cleaned. Something's been changed. Something's been cleared. Oh, sinner, if you want to run to victory, you've got to clean your conscience. Woo! Nowhere documented in the Bible was this person Felix after chapter 24 ever mentioned where he ever gave his heart to God. Nowhere. There's another man I'm reminded that made such wrong decisions. It was a man called Judas. Judas was a man who had an evil conscience. Now I want to just insert this in right here. If you have an evil conscience, you can be pricked in your heart. You can be saved. But friend, don't you delve so far. Don't you wait so long that your conscience becomes seared.
Right.
When the conscience becomes seared, it comes where even the blood can't touch it. There are some areas that the blood will not go. Let's lift our hands and pray. In the name of Jesus, I'm feeling a spirit rising up in here and say, well, you've ruined your shot at me, brother. Your revival's dying tonight. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm coming against the place where the devil's battleground really is at. I'm coming to the place where the line is really drawn on our choices and our decisions. I'm coming where the root of our victory is laid. It's in the battle of our minds. It's in the battle of our conscience. The world has a tendency nowadays, or at least the crew that I came out of, to pride themselves in harshness and wholeness and just step out. But God's pride, He loves His people that will humble themselves.
And I'm believing that I'm in a congregation of a lot of humble people. I'm believing that we have been to Bethel Center. Sir, ma'am, you have been to Bethel. And you have been to the altar at Bethel. But Jacob went back and repaired the altar. And when he left this place this time, he had the goods that he needed. But notice they call the name of the place El Bethel. In other words, the first time when Jacob came and built that altar, Bethel, translated, was the house of God. But friend, when he left, and he realized he had an altar to repair, and he came back, and he repaired his altar, and he walked away from a place that was now called El Bethel, translated, the God of the house. You cannot only come to the house of God and walk away and say you're saved. Friend, you need to come to the house of God, but you need to leave with the God of the house. You don't need to leave with the spirit of bondage tonight. You don't need to leave with the spirit of I don't think it's real. Friend, you just need to come and find out it's real. You need to get your conscience cleaned and clear tonight. You need to get your soul purged and purified tonight. We need to get rid. We need to pray. Pray and bind the spirit of tomorrow. Judas, a man who had an evil conscience. I believe his conscience was evil. But with his actions, he had good intentions. But he had wrong ways of operation. He never intended for his life to end the way that it did. He could not get away from the condemnation that was on his heart. He had betrayed the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. And I was trying to find, but I remember in Bible college, them showing us and teaching us, 30 pieces of silver was not much more than $15. What will you sell him for today? Judas, you walked, you talked, you eat, you breathe, you hugged him, you took him and you kissed him. For approximately $15, maybe $30. But friend, nowadays $100 is not much. But it didn't go, I know it did not exceed $30. And Judas said, I can't get away from this. And this is, it even says that Judas repented to himself. But it's not himself he needs to repent to. It's the one that's hanging on the cross. To repent to oneself is a pity party. And a pity party is not going to give us access. But a convenient mind. Judas said, I'm not going to look at what's happening right now. I just want to know how my finances are going to be. Why are you letting that woman pour out that alabaster box? Don't you know that stuff in there is worth a lot of money? You know what that woman did? Let me just get real illustrative and simple. I was to take the top off and pour it on the foot. I'm not going to pour it out on you. But pour it out. Then I control the flow of my worship. But this woman took this box and she broke it. In other words, she cannot control the flow. You get somebody that was speaking in tongues. I mean, they can't control themselves, friend. It's because they've been broken. And that worship to flow. And then you begin experiencing something like you have never experienced before. And it's a brokenness. But it's the worship prayer. Oh, come on. Come on. The problem with some of the other people is that they love praise, but they don't want worship. You can praise without worship, but you can't worship without praise. We need the spirit of worship to fall in the building. It's going to be when you worship that you'll receive the Holy Ghost. It's going to be when you break your box of pride that you'll receive the Holy Ghost. It's going to be when you break your box of convenience. The dangers of a convenient mind. Judas, you couldn't get away from your guilt. So Judas says, I'm going to have my own Calvary. I'm going to hang my own self. The peace he needed. He started to take his own life in his own hands. Not only did he sell the Savior, but he also sold his soul for a more convenient way. In other words, I'm going to give my God, what will you give in exchange for your soul? Right. The peace he needed in his mind that was running through his heart and saying, guilty, condemned, condemned, guilty. The peace that he needed was located just a few hills away. The forgiveness. Brother, stand up in the far back. Izzy, brother next to him, would you stand for him instead? I want you to step out and I just want you to pace up to the altar. And I want you to count out loud. Somebody is at least 22 or 23 steps from your Calvary that you need. Your guilt is as much as 23 to 25 steps away from being forgiven. But you got to move from your place of convenience. Right. Right. All he could think of was how Jesus was hung upon a tree. So he decided to hang himself upon a tree. Was his hanging the right Calvary? No. It was not a cross hanging. It was a lynching. A lynching of a victim of a devilish convenient mind. The Calvary we need is not from a hangman's noose, but it's from the one who holds the scars in his hand. I'm telling you, give him the scars of your heart tonight. He knows how to handle scars. Right. Judas could talk now.
He would say that whatever's condemning your life, sir or ma'am, whatever's holding you back from the release of your sins is not worth hanging for. The memory of the past is not worth hanging for. It's time to let Jesus cut you down, sir or ma'am, from the tightening noose of the neck, around your neck of your past choices. It's time for Jesus, who was hung upon the cross with nails, to take your Judas noose and give you hope. And I prayed, Lord, help me. You say, what's the difference? They both were hung on a tree. Jesus was hung, was nailed to the tree. Wow, this is not here. You want to know what the difference is? Jesus went to the cross to be hung because He wanted to. Judas thought there was no other way out. He took a cross up and He took nails that really belonged to us. What are they worth? What are they worth? Hey, young people. What's it worth to you? What's it worth? The world wants to make you all sorts of trash buckets, drug addicts. Ladies, the world wants to take you and abuse you and use you and then tell you you're being loved and throw you out to the side. And then you're just like, who wants it? And then you really feel rejection. Some of you in this place tonight, you've got rejection in your heart. You may be young or you may be old, but you've got rejection in your heart. And I'm going to tell you why there's rejection in your life. It's because you are hanging on to it. Tonight, say, I'm trading my rejection for receiving. Peter, you denied Him 3 times. Here we stand. You denied Him 3 times, but yet you're the preacher on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because you repented to the Lord. Tonight, we choose, or we have one more time, one more night to choose once more. Is it the nails or is it the noose? Is it condemnation or is it mercy? I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, nor in chambering or wantonness, nor in strife or envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Three steps to your deliverance. At the most, can we close our eyes and lift our hands? I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered.
no more.
I wonder, would you come to an altar tonight? Would you find somebody and say, hey, tonight, let's just come on, come on.